Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Thank goodness for artists and musicians, right? I mean, in this election season, as in elections past, they've provided a creative catharsis for all that pent-up emotion people across the political spectrum have been feeling. For example, on the right, there's country crooner Larry Gatlin's song, Stand Up and Say So.
I've gotten sick and tired of you stealing my money to pay for jet airplanes and limousines. For crying out loud, you think it's funny, you and Bubba living above my means.
And on the left, Will I Am, just out earlier this month with Grab 'Em by the, well, you know.
What you gonna do about Al-Qaeda and ISIS? What you gonna do about Syria and crisis? What you gonna do when you step in the door? Will the rich stay richer and the poor stay poor?
No!
Shut up, girl. It ain't about you, girl. It's all about me, girl. Don't you see my name on a building, girl? And when I'm president, I'm up on the world.
I've always been interested in strident songs.
This is Boston-based musician An Azemah.
There is a relevance and a timing that's too good to pass, shall we say. And so when we were building the season last year, we thought, well, elections are coming up, so perhaps that would be a good time to share these songs.
Now, I've got to apologize to you just a bit because we've kind of done a bait and switch here. See, An isn't talking about a modern artist. She's talking about a medieval one. Philip the Chancellor. Call him a 13th century Will.i.am. This is Bula Fulminante, written by Philip the Chancellor circa 1230. An Azemah is artistic director of the Boston Camerata. This Saturday, you can hop onto a virtual Wayback Machine with them during their concert, City of Fools, Rule and Misrule in the Middle Ages. Troubadour songs from the 12th to 14th century that show us just how long political strife and political satire have been a part of civic life.
We are hearing in the voice of Joel Fredrickson, our bass, this diatribe against Rome, against the fact that you cannot access the powers of Rome unless you somehow pay your way. The interesting aspect is that the clerks, the middle management, so to speak, of the church, somehow knew exactly what was going on in the abuse of powers within the church, even in the 13th century, and were able to actually express their views.
I mean, there are some lines in the song, such as, with a seal like lightning under a thundering judge, when the defendant appeals, unwilling to bear his sentence, truth is suppressed. What are they talking about?
They're talking about, here is what's at stake. If you want justice, you can knock at the door of the Pope in Rome, but you're pretty sure that you're not going to have real justice unless you pay your way with money.
Well, let's listen to another song then. This is titled Un Sirventes Vulfar.
In this song, you're hearing a fascinating piece to me. This one is against the power of Rome, how it kills people to get its way, how it murdered an entire town in 1229 to really make sure that its hand is on the folk that were down there.
The lyrics are absolutely unyielding, right? And how they criticize Rome. I'm looking at some of the English translation. You have the face of a lamb and a humble countenance, but within the heart of a rapacious wolf, of a crested snake born of a viper. That's why the devil looks after you as he would a close friend.
You do not know what is good and evil anymore. Who to trust? Where to go?
This is starting to sound very familiar, isn't it?
Thank you.
in medieval times, there was a great deal of political satire in literature.
Absolutely.
And I'm thinking of Dante, of course, being one of them, possibly the most famous. How much of political satire was there in song?
A lot, obviously. Yes. We tend to think of medieval times, Gregorian chant, love, flowers, birds, I love you, you don't love me. But there were many strident and dissident voices which expressed their discomfort.
Mm. And was expressing their discomfort through music, was that a safe way of doing it or not?
That's an excellent question, Magna. The fact that these songs exist, this poetry and music exist, proves that some people had the space to actually compose them. And in turn, that of course raises the question of our space as artists in 2016. And it frankly calls very burning questions of the place of art and music in the space we have today.
Right. So on these first two pieces that we've been listening to were polemics against the power of the Roman Catholic Church. But of course, there were secular kings as well all over Europe at the time. Were they satirized in song?
Absolutely. One, for example, says, if he's old, get rid of him and bring in the youth, bring in the young. It will talk also about kings who are not respectful of artists. Mm. Make them perform, compose poems, sing, play the viol, which is a little string instrument reminiscent of the alto, modern alto, and not pay you, but maybe give you beer. Will that be enough?
Santa Maria.
Or we have also a very moving prayer in the voice of a king saying, well, when the time will come, I hope I will be received by God. I have been chosen to do this. I don't know if I did well, but I did my best.
That sounds rather sympathetic and not,
isn't
not really
it?
Satirical.
Isn't it? Yeah, you do feel for this king, and that's Alfonso el Sabio, who has compiled a whole collection of songs to the Virgin Mary and addresses this, his own prayer to the Virgin Mary, saying, please help me get to see God.
The intended audiences at the time?
They're varied. They're not the same. Every single song was probably aimed at a different audience. For example, the song of King Alfonso was probably meant to be sung at his court. Mm-hmm. He is a king. He can talk to the Virgin Mary. And by the way, listen to this piece where he is talking to the Virgin Mary. Or in the case of this powerful song about let's move the old one out and have a young one, a young at heart one, this may be a group of conoscenti, a little bit like us, thinking things are not going very well, but I've made a very good poem with music for you to be able to actually comfort ourselves by hoping that a new king will come.
But none of the songs were... None of the music was necessarily aimed at the, you know, the hard working people of medieval Europe. I'm thinking, you know, the chefs, the maids.
We do not have a note of music or poetry from popular quote unquote background. Mm. Because it wasn't written. That's yeah. why it's popular. You know, we don't have any sources of what was sung by the cooks, by the people in the fields.
Well, let's listen to another medieval song that will be performed by Boston Camerata. This, again, is from roughly 1230, so early-ish 13th century. It's called Un Sirventes Nouvel.
Un Sirventes Nouvel. Comenzar, que le traerá.
just listening to it, my initial reaction is one of deep and heavy lament. The weight of this song. What's happening here?
There is a lament. God, you put me here. Things are not going well, and we are entrenched in this devilish situation. I'll cut you a deal that you can't refuse. Take me back before my birth, and let's start all over again.
Who's singing this?
This poet is actually singing to God. That's the ultimate diatribe, the ultimate complaint in this situation, which is out of our hands. God is the only refuge, and please make it good again.
These are starting to cut rather close to the bone in modern times, I have to say. But this song is titled O Fortuna Velut Luna.
Well, if God won't help, maybe fortune will be good to us. In other terms, fortune is this lady which stands in front of all wheels and turns the world up and down. There it is. If your situation is impossible to manage, maybe fortune will change and will make the wheels turn. Mm. That is what the poet is hoping.
So, when people come to see the performance, they will be coming with the eyes and ears and souls of a 2016 audience, right? Listening to this medieval music. And we are an audience that's in the throes of a, you know, I was about to use unprecedented as the word, unprecedented presidential election, but all of this music tells us otherwise.
Doesn't it? Isn't it very moving that music and poetry from the 12th and 13th century actually points to places where we think we've never been before, but actually we have. And this is one way to actually perhaps comfort ourselves by saying, you know, plus ça change, as they say in my country where I was born. And even though I will vote in November here, and this is very important and at stake for me, I think we may want to perhaps get some poise and think that fortune might be good to us.
But on the other hand, we haven't come very far in 700 years.
Maybe we haven't. But, you know, the same way that for the entrance of a new king, it was required that people would sing and make music, voce competenti, but they were also, in a way, free to say how they felt about the dysfunctionment of secular power or church power or even God's view on the situation. But perhaps we can gain strength by knowing that having an echo of our own anxieties from the 12th century, 13th century, and realize that humanity has gone through it, will continue, and perhaps we'll be better this time.
Well, Anne Azema is vocalist and artistic director of the Boston Camerata. Their upcoming performance of medieval music is called The City of Fools, Rule and Misrule in the Middle Ages. It will take place this Saturday at the First Church in Boston, and we have more information about the concert at our website, radioboston.org. Anne, it was such a pleasure to speak with you and to listen to this music with you. Thank you so very much.
You're welcome, Magna. It's wonderful to have a conversation with you.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.